time for Hour Tua.
It's Hour Tua. It's Hour Tua. It's Hour Tua. Tua, Tua, Tua. Tagovailoa. Not
Tua Tagovailoa.
A for effort. Dolphins quarterback.
Tua.
It's Hour Tua. It's Hour Tua.
Tua.
Tua, Tua, Tua. Tua, Tua, Tua. Can go to hell. Tua Tagovailoa. Dolphins quarterback.
Daddy loves you guys.
Hour Tua with Tobin and Leroy.
Check the history of food.
Hour two of the program, ladies and gentlemen. Tobin and Leroy here with you. 560 WQAM. Take you guys up until 2 here on the program. As the Panthers dominant last night. 5-0 win for your defending Stanley Cup champion Panthers over the Carolina Hurricanes. Do you want to know what they did on their off day, Leroy, according to reports? Jamison Olivas said that Nico Mikolas revealed Brad Marchand orchestrated an outing to Dairy Queen.
You don't need to orchestrate. Just
he
orchestrated.
Oh, he just said he wants everybody to go. A team outing
to Dairy Queen, you cheap bastard.
What do you mean?
I mean, I don't know.
I don't know if he picked up the tab.
If I'm in Florida, I'm going to Cold Stone or I'm going to Jack's.
Oh, Jackson's. Wow. Interesting.
That's real team bonding over some good ice cream.
But you got to sit. Here's the thing, though. You go to a Cold Stone, you got to wait for everybody on the team. Da-da-da-da. Tip, tip.
You got to do the same thing.
To blend it together. No, but they got machines, dude. They got to do every single blend by hand at Cold Stone. You know, you throw everything in the blizzard. You can make like four
That's
blizzards.
That's like saying, I'm going to take you guys out. We're going to go to McDonald's.
You can make four.
It's easy.
What? Team bonding is team bonding.
Okay. So Christmas, right?
Mm-hmm.
When I say, I'm going to take you guys to lunch.
Yeah.
And we go to McDonald's instead of Capital Grille.
Would still love it. Would still love it. Would still appreciate it. I would. Dade South says you're an ice cream elitist. I agree with that because he doesn't like ice cream that much.
Right. So, like, yeah.
You would, Brittany, would you appreciate a Dairy Queen run by any teammate? Or do you feel like that's cheap? You need to go to Cold Stone.
1,000%.
Love Dairy Queen.
I love Dairy Queen. There's not enough Dairy Queens in South Florida, in my opinion.
That's true.
So, honestly, it's a little bit more exclusive than you think, Leroy.
And then if you go to the smaller towns, they have a Dairy Queen brazier. Where they make hamburgers and stuff.
Well, that's the thing, is the one thing that Cold Stone doesn't have is you don't have hot. Like, what if they wanted to go to Dairy Queen just to get snacks? Like, you can get a burger.
Really?
You can get tendies.
And Dairy Queen has some of the best
fries. You're making stuff up.
What do you mean, dude?
I'm sure nobody said, yeah, in case you don't want ice cream, you can get one of those juicy burgers.
J-Fix says, I got excited when I saw a DQ in Tampa. Don't see them here anymore. There's one. I got a Dairy Queen on Lake Worth Road.
Is there a Dairy Queen right around the corner.
I think Broward and Palm Beach still has Dairy Queens. I don't know about
Dade. You guys have them in like South Florida for real.
They don't have any Dairy Queens
down
here?
They have one like in Kendall.
Doesn't the Dolphin Mall have one with an Orange Julius?
Yeah, I think so, but I don't want to go to Dolphin Mall. Do you want to go to Dolphin Mall?
Only if I'm forced.
Exactly.
Only if I'm forced.
And keep in mind, Dairy Queen and Cold Stone are the same distance from my house.
I understand.
So guess where I'm going? Cold Stone.
Nico Mikola, like, what do you think he has? And he's like, can I get Blizzard with fish?
Klondike bar.
Oh, man. Let's get to some headlines here brought to you by Doral Volkswagen. At Doral Volkswagen, choose from over 300 new Volkswagen models in stock, like the Tiguan, the Taos, and the Atlas. And remember, when it comes to Volkswagen, the great deals are at Doral Volkswagen. Schmeath, does anybody notice how Tobin was able to rattle off how locations of fast food places? Hey, man, Schmeath, you keep note.
What about Carvel ice cream.
Carvel's become rare. There's not many Carvels around anymore.
I got like two of them within 10 minutes of my house.
Do you? Yeah. I don't think anybody thinks about going to Carvel anymore unless you're getting an ice cream cake.
Yeah, but they, keep in mind, originally they only had like one.
Yeah, Fudgy the Whale.
On like a commercial by 441.
Carvel had Cookie Puss and...
Then they opened up other ones. So now I have a couple of those by my house. But again, when you say Carvel, you're thinking of ice cream cakes, which, meh.
And meh. Can't believe you called Marchand a cheap bastard.
Yeah.
First of all, don't they get a per diem? I don't even think he has to pay. Like, I think he's just like, hey, boys, DQ, let's go.
You can't. Wait.
Don't you get a certain amount of money on the road?
There's a rule.
Hmm?
Here's what that rule is. If you are inviting people to go somewhere and eat, you can't bring them all there and then say, everybody get in line to pay for themselves.
Even if
you're inviting people.
Even if you get road trip bucks?
It doesn't matter. If you are a player and you're inviting somebody to go eat, those players are going to assume you're footing the bill.
All right, I'm going to need to get Nico Mikola's thoughts on this. This is very important.
No, it's true. I'm telling you.
Hey, you're the professional athlete. I believe you. I'm just at.
If I said, as only me and Metcalf went and ate every Monday, whoever didn't score a touchdown had to pay.
I like that.
That's how it went. But we had that stand. We did that as long as we were in Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
But if I tell the offensive line, hey, guys, you guys want to go to the spot and get some food, you best believe they think I'm paying. What if you and D first in college, y'all first start dating, say, hey, you want to go to, Applebee's?
He's not taking Mikola on a date.
Sure, I'd enjoy it, right? And then you hand her half of the check.
Hmm.
No, you can't invite somebody and not pay.
Interesting. All right. Paul Maurice, he was asked about the Panthers being road warriors. 22 goals in their last four road games. That seems like a lot. Let's hear from the Panthers head coach on that.
I think we're a game over 500 on the road this year. I'd used it way earlier. Like, I wouldn't have waited for the playoffs. I'd have fired that right out in December. I would say that style of game wise, that we don't put a great weight on execution and how we feel. So whether it's pretty or not doesn't matter to us. And we don't play much differently at home. It's pretty similar. But last year we were a pretty dominant road team. And this year we were good until about the last month and a half, and then kind of some injuries and stuff. So I don't think that we feel any differently on the road. It's the intimidation of the road game kind of left our game 15 years ago. You can be a good road team now. I mean, it used to be different going on the road. It has nothing to do with the fans. I think the buildings are louder. The music's louder. The fans are louder. But just the way, the structure of teams, the structure of lines. It used to be, if you got down 2-0 at home, your fourth line didn't even ask if they were going out. They just jumped over the boards, and they didn't bring all their equipment with them. Right? It was on. So it's different now.
Right side, second.
Wow. That's a confident man right there. That's a confident Paul Maurice.
You know what? Same tone.
Yep.
No matter what.
Here's a little bit more from the head coach on taking the home crowd out of it on their road games.
Well, I mean, we've had some dogs at home. We've had some tough ones, but our crowd's really good to us, you know. I don't think that you necessarily gain anything on the road. You just don't lose anything. So the other team scores, you're on the road, the building gets amped up. Dallas last night, 3-1 game. They scored that thing early and that building lit up, and now they're skating twice as fast as they did for the first two periods. There's a huge advantage to the home team and the emotional. I don't think that the road team participates in that. Like, if it's quiet, like, fuck, we don't know. right? The music's still really loud and there's cheering, so we don't pick up on that. But there can be a real advantage for the home team when they get something good to happen and it lights the crowd up.
Last question, left side, Jameson.
Paul Maurice strike you as somebody who refers to music as noise? He seems like he's mentioned the music twice there, and I feel like if it's not 80s hair band rock, he ain't rocking with it. What do you think Paul Maurice listens to?
Bee Gees.
Really?
Like, I think he's in the, like, 70s. Old Billy Joel, The Police. Mm. You think he's into, like, heavy metal?
Yeah, I feel like he's rocking Poison as he's leaving the ring.
No. He's got to have, like, there's got to be some kind of mellowness to his music because it would connote his personality.
What is he, 60 now? 58, 60?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
All right. Matthew Tkachuk, this is what he had to say on the Cats and their winning ways recently, as the Panthers have been absolutely on fire. This is him on them winning their last three road games dominantly.
Might have been natural for us to take a little bit to get going tonight, and it was the exact opposite. It was an unreal start from us. No, the goals aside, just the way we played in the first period was as good as it gets. And, yeah, it's just a hell of a road trip.
Yeah, I would agree. And he looked awesome.
Good to see him. He looks healthy.
He looked good. Here's a little bit more of Matthew Tkachuk on what an embarrassment the Carolina Hurricanes have been.
Oh, not at all. I mean, they're a great team. I think you got to be careful the way you look at the shots. I mean, some games tonight they had however many, some games they have 50. Like, it's just part of the game. I mean, they're really good at throwing pucks at the net with some traffic and looking for sticks, creating havoc off that. I don't know. I think we just did a great job blocking shots tonight. I don't know.
Yeah, you know what you did.
They never shot it, though.
You know what you did. And we got some breaking news, by the way, from the Cats. Bill Zito has been named one of the three finalists for General Manager of the Year.
If he doesn't win it, it's a joke.
I agree.
Did he win it last year?
No.
Yeah, absolutely. His three-year run of decisions and building a team and a franchise to win championships is unmatched.
Yeah, Jim Nill won it last year for the Dallas Stars.
Yeah, they were pretty good too.
He's a finalist this year as well.
Yep.
Sorry, Jim. I know you got Rankin in, but I thought Bill Zito, top notch. Anyway, we'll take a break. More to come here on the show. Back after this. All right, welcome back. Tobin and Leroy here with you, 560 WQAM. Leroy, can we get a weather update from the Demesman & Dover Law Firm, youraccidentattorneys.com? Free consultations 24/7. Call them up at 866-954-MORE. What is it raining other than rats?
Demesman & Dover.
Every time he does that and he hits his mic, like, I feel like he's banging an acoustic guitar.
It is... Whoops.
Are you okay?
Oh, man. All right.
Wait a minute. Hold on. No. Forget the weather. What did you just break?
I mean, I was reaching over and my cord got, you know, what the hell Fonz got up in here.
Are you going to, like, was it something? What is that? Is that like an artifact?
A little flower pot.
Dude, Seth goes, he's a literal bull in a china shop.
No, I mean, who does this? Look.
So you broke a flower pot?
Yeah, a little flower pot.
Wow.
I'm trying to squeeze my fat ass in these little corners to get to the window flex. Now there's dirt everywhere. Anyway... Winds are coming out of the west, southwest at about 10 to 15 miles per hour. Clouds are humming. Usually when you have that westerly breeze, that's when you can get the little evening showers. It's hot as hell.
It's got to be, what, 91 degrees? And, yeah, expect a little evening shower. We got one, was it yesterday, where it rained pretty good for a nice little clip?
I saw it. Yeah, you guys had some crazy storms down in Broward and Dade, right? Like, yeah. We didn't get any of that up there.
Yeah, we had for, like, maybe an hour, it rained pretty good. Well...
Dude, it sounded like Stone Cold was about to come out to wrestle.
Hey, 2-1 filthy Leroy Cousins. I'm not going to. No, because it broke in big pieces. Dude, this is a real. Hold up.
Al Macros, unaccountable Leroy blaming Fonz.
Yeah.
Somebody says Big Spoon's about to take you out.
Don't worry. I'm already.
Are you trying to put it together?
Yeah. I can gorilla glue this thing. It's like building a puzzle. All right,
we'll save that project for the commercial break.
Look at that. Whoops. Hey, I was just going to play it off. You're the one that wanted to.
You couldn't play it off, dude. We heard it on the air. It was like, gosh. I think we need to go get Brittany. Can you go get that sound for next segment? I don't think you realize how loud that break sounded was. Like, we all had it ASMR style, dude.
And I wasn't even close to the mic.
I know. Just be careful. Don't cut yourself. All right.
I'm not going to cut myself. It's pottery. Pottery doesn't break like glass.
Haven't mentioned today because honestly, I was all cats last night, but the OKC Thunder took a 2-0 lead on the Timberwolves. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, he's good. 38 points for him in the win over the Timberwolves. And, yeah, they look, you know, the Thunder looking very Panthers-like, very overwhelming right now.
Yeah. I mean, they quieted Ant-Man.
Yeah.
I'm having a hard time, and I don't think he's a bad player.
Who?
But I'm going to say this. I don't think you can win a championship with Rudy Gobert.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah, because he's like playing with 4.5 players.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's not like Rodman, who always gets the rebound, right? He sometimes gets it. He's out of position a lot. Shai is doing what he wants in the paint. That's what you are, a paint deterrent. So why is a guy who shoots middies scoring 38 in the paint?
It's very good, though.
So I don't care how good he is. You have, what, 4-time defensive player of the year?
Yeah.
There should be none of that.
By the way, speaking of defensive player of the year, Bam Adebayo yesterday, his streak of all defense came to an end. First time in 6 years, Bam does not make an all-defense team. Not first, not second. So, I'm sure he's going to take that well. But here's the thing. I'm going to be pure to this.
It has more to do with the team he's playing on and not about his abilities.
It's not about his abilities. And from my standpoint, I don't get in the case of snubbery. I don't think there are – if you told me you think there are 10 defenders on this planet better than Bam Adebayo, I'd say you're high as a kite, Yogi. If you told me there were 5 defenders you think are better on this planet than Bam Adebayo, I don't think I agree with that. But when you win 37 games, you're not going to get a lot of accolades.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
That's what it is. That's what it comes down to.
Most of the awards, and the only reason why it's not that way for the All-Star game, because you got to pick the All-Star teams – middle of the season.
Mm-hmm. And rookies, too. Like, rookies are naturally going to be on bad teams.
So when you look at it, like, what the Heat have been doing the last few years, being undermanned and you know, just scrappy, and they all put it towards, okay, the defense. They're always in the game with that defense. And then you go and say, oh, it's Bam. Those things can't be said about this team this year. So, therefore, the defensive accolades are going to be missed, even though you're still playing quality defense and guarding 1 through 5. So, it has more to do with the team and the success of the team. And think about it. if I'm somebody else from another city and you pick Bam over a player that plays for another team, I'm immediately going to say, how do you blow that many leads and be on a all-defensive team?
Yeah, and the thing is for him, like, he's the only guy kind of keeping it all together. But, yeah, right. I'm with you. When you have the worst fourth-quarter metrics of any team in the league,
right.
That
right.
is a, that's a, it's a fair critique, even though it's not on him.
Even,
he's
right.
the anchor of the unit.
But keep in mind, we're looking at it firsthand. Most people that vote in this are looking at it from the peripherals.
Yeah, but
they're
like
looking at it from the outside, and they're looking at numbers, and they're hearing all these stats about the Heat giving up these leads in the fourth quarter, mm-hmm. and how ridiculous it is, and how their defensive rating has been affected by that. And then you go, okay, how are we going to take somebody on all defense that was a part of that?
Yeah, here was your first team. Evan Mobley, obviously one defensive player of the year. Dyson Daniels, who led the league in steals by a lot. Lou Dort, OKC, most dominant defense in the league. Draymond Green.
He begged his way onto it.
He campaigned, Lifetime Achievement Award. By the way, half the year they sucked, and basically, what did he become the best defender in the league because Jimmy Butler arrived?
Jimmy got there. Like,
I saw Bam Adebayo versus Draymond Green. Bam cooked his ass, but whatever. Amen Thompson, he was great. Obviously had the viral game against Steph Curry. But, like, yeah, the guys on the second team, Zubac has had a great year. You think he's a better defender than Bam, you're high as a kite. Jaren Jackson Jr., come on, dude. Dude's a foul machine. Not better than Bam at defense. Tomani Kamara from Portland's had a great year. They were kind of an up-and-up team. Nice. And then Rudy Gobert was the last. Jalen Williams made it from OKC. And then Rudy Gobert was the last guy to make it on all second team.
Which is amazing to me because he has not been any type of deterrent in this OKC series.
And I think two guys from the East made it. Only Mobley and Daniels. So that was a very West heavy award. Two Thunder making it obvious, you know, probably deservedly so because of their incredible season, but a very, very West heavy all defense team for that. And then Bam finished. He was second in others receiving votes, but he didn't receive as, like, the next guy was OG Anunoby, who had 49 points, which was the next guy to be off the list. And then Bam only had 18. He had one first team all defense vote and then 16 second team all defense votes. But that was way behind OG Anunoby's total.
Right.
So, yeah, he was mostly an afterthought on this this year.
And that has more to do with team success than his ability to play defense.
Yeah, but I'd imagine, as he said to Pat, you know, what was it, the thing that he wants the answers to Pat on what changes they're going to make or what fixes they're going to do? I imagine he doesn't, you know, Bam is not one of these guys that I'm sure wants to be stuck on a mediocre team either. So we'll see what moves Pat Riley's got to deter that. But it's been all quiet. It's almost too quiet. I need some action. Let's go, baby. Chris Haynes, where's my Giannis report, dude? Take a break. We'll tickle Leroy's fancy next.
Are you fancy, huh? Are you fancy, huh? Are you fancy, huh? Are you fancy, huh?
I'm so fancy. You already know I'm in the fast lane. From LA to Tokyo.
It is time, ladies and gentlemen, to tickle Leroy's fancy. Go around the weekend slate and see what tickles Leroy's fancy. I guess when he gets here, I don't know where he went. I imagine maybe he got some Gorilla Glue, like he's trying to fix that pot that he broke in his studio. And just incredible. I mean, this guy went to go do the weather report. Do you have the sound, Brittany, so Leroy can understand how loud his antics were last segment? Because that was something. This was Leroy Horde going to the Windowplex to try and bring us the weather.
Is. Whoops.
Are you okay?
Oh, man. So I went and told Fonz. He goes, oh no, you broke my succulent? I'm like, what? I'm like, you didn't even know where it was. He says, yeah, put it on top of a speaker. I'm like, man, put that thing in a cup.
All right, let us get to Tickle My Fancy here, Leroy.
Yeah, hey, last week was a rough one. It was action. Now, I think we got a little lighter week this week.
A little bit of a lighter week. What do you got, Leroy, for this tonight? Game two of the Eastern Conference Finals. The New York Knicks host the Indiana Pacers at 8 o'clock. Does that game tickle your fancy?
We either go see a street fight and a good series because the Knicks are going to win, or we better start recognizing a superstar when we see one in Haliburton. Because there's been a lot of situations during the course of the year where he's done stuff like that, and we've just kind of brushed over it.
I saw a take from Stephen A. yesterday. I didn't watch the whole clip, but I saw like one of those Instagram headlines, and it just came off patently absurd, where it said, just because you hit clutch shots doesn't make you a superstar. And I'm like, it doesn't?
That's exactly what it makes
like,
you.
That's literally what a superstar does.
If he scored a lot of points but didn't hit clutch shots, then you would turn around and say, but he's not clutch.
I don't know.
You know who said that? A Knicks fan.
Salty.
Oh, yeah.
Also tonight, Leroy, on the other side of the bracket, in Dallas, Texas, the Dallas Stars in the Western Conference Final, after their monster comeback in Game 1, host Game 2 against the Edmonton Oilers at 8 o'clock. Tickle your fancy?
You know, I've seen Edmonton play. I haven't really seen Dallas play. I might kick the tires on it a little bit, but not
fancy,
really.
Fancy, not tickled.
Yeah.
One of the rare non-Panthers hockey games I've been to, which is a total of two. One was a Winter Classic Rangers-Islanders game at Yankee Stadium, and the other was the Dallas Stars. I don't even remember who they played, to be honest with you. Maybe it was Columbus, but I went with Hockman and Crowder when I was doing... I think you were doing your annual golf trip or something like that.
Yeah.
And so I ended up going to Errol Spence Radio Row in Dallas by myself, and we went to a Dallas Stars game randomly, and the thing I found hilarious about it is everybody wears those ugly-ass green jerseys, but they wear them with cowboy hats. And I was like, wow, they really do that here.
I told you, my grandfather was from Texas, and he wore a cowboy hat every day.
Incredible.
Looked ridiculous in the hood, but...
You know who's making the cowboy hat a thing I've seen this offseason? Zach Seeler. He's really making that his repertoire. I saw on Instagram that he went to the PBR championship, the Pro Bull Rider championship. I'm like, that's Zach Seeler's vacation right there. See if I can last 8 seconds or more.
I went when I was a kid. We moved to Denver,
mm-hmm.
and we were staying with my godparents, and one of my cousins was a pilot.
Hmm?
He could, and so one Saturday morning, he says, hey, let's go. It was me, my godfather, him, and another dude got in one of these little bitty planes, like a Cessna or whatever, and flew to Wyoming, and I saw the Cheyenne Rodeo.
Hmm.
I didn't know that was like the Super Bowl of rodeos.
You know, I've been seeing something with cowboy hats. JFix says, something so manly about a cowboy hat. I've been noticing the Palm Beach Sheriffs, they're starting to wear cowboy hats. And I'm like, we're doing that down here now. Because I feel
I ain't scared of no cop wearing a cowboy hat until he says the words reckon.
Dude, I was like, well, look,
I reckon you speeding.
There's definitely some
in a hurry.
There's definitely some redneck areas up there where I live, that's for sure. But I was like, oh, we're rocking the sheriff's. We're rocking. Not, it wasn't a sheriff's hat. I know what the sheriff's hat is, where it's like got the look. No, they were wearing distinctly a. These were young cops too, wearing a cowboy hat, and I was like, kind of dig it, but I don't feel like that's... I didn't think of that as a Florida thing. I feel like that's a Texas thing.
They do that in South Carolina. So.
I feel like that's a thing up there. Yeah. Like I was like, okay, we're doing that.
What about
now.
In Canada? They do the
Mountie hat. Yeah, the Mountie hat.
The Mountie hat. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Also, Leroy, tonight.
Yep. Tonight.
At 9:38. Very exact. Marlins, Angels. Take your fancy.
I would be telling a lie.
So.
If I
fancy,
say
not
yes.
Tickled.
Sandman's on the hill.
9:30.
You don't want to see Sandy?
Not until 9:45. Because that's the way his outings have been going.
Yeah, you know, I really want him to get right. It's been tough sledding.
Yeah, but
for
what
him,
happens if he gets right and they trade him?
Well, I wouldn't like that either. Right. But I don't want a stinky Sandy. Like, I do want him to get back and get his ways figured out. Tomorrow, Leroy, at 9 o'clock p.m., UFC Fight Night, women's flyweight main event, Erin Blanchfield versus Macy Barber. Took you a fancy?
No.
Okay, well.
Fancy is that regular ESPN?
It is on regular ESPN, yes.
Yeah.
It is on regular ESPN.
That sounds like regular ESPN.
It does sound like regular ESPN.
Although, remember Manny Pacquiao fought on ESPN.
He did, very early in the morning.
Yep.
Very early in the morning. Tomorrow night, Leroy, game three of the Eastern Conference Final. The Florida Panthers back home hosting the Carolina Hurricanes. Take it your fancy.
Down the street, baby. Down the street. Yes. Yes, my fancy is tickled. I'm going to be all in.
I'm all in.
I'm all in.
I'm all in. All right. Leroy, this weekend, new movie out, Lilo and Stitch, live action. Tickle your fancy.
Why do you say live action? Because it's not a cartoon?
Well, yeah, it's a live action, but, I mean, obviously, Stitch is, I believe, computer generated.
CGI. No, I'm just saying, that's why, do you have to say, like, they don't say animated when it's animation. Well, so why did you have to say live?
Because they got
like
human.
I'm going to opera or something. Like I'm going to, you know, Disney on Ice.
I feel like you're quibbling here. Do you want to see Lilo and Stitch as a tickle your fancy or not?
No, I don't have any kids your age.
All right, dude. I'm seeing Lilo and Stitch this weekend probably.
I know because who are you going with, Tommy and Sophia?
Yep.
Is she not? Don't worry.
No, she loves Lilo and Stitch. This is a
she's going to graduate pretty soon. You got about another 2 years.
What about Mission Impossible, The Final Reckoning? Tickle your fancy?
Fancy, not tickle.
Not a big fan of 60-year-olds doing stunts.
Wow. But it's The Final Reckoning. The final one. There's no more reckoning after this.
Wait, they said it was the final one two Mission Impossibles ago.
No, that's not fair.
That's true.
This is the final. This is the final reckoning. There is no more reckoning after this.
Let me give you the gist of Mission Impossible. Somebody stole something. Him and his crew have to secretly go get it without any recognition from the U.S. government. And he's going to meet a girl and they're going to fall in love and something going to happen. And then he going to save her, all in the gist of getting whatever these people have stole from the U.S. or international. That sounds about right.
I mean, maybe, you know, it's the final reckoning. Maybe he's going to pass the torch to somebody.
Who? Everybody in his crew is old as hell.
I don't know, dude.
I'm not interested. Wow, no spoilers. What do you mean spoilers? I haven't seen the last three.
Yeah, but, you know, I'm just trying to figure it out, dude. Come on.
You know, listen, it's like John Wick. You know John Wick going to fight 700 dudes. And mysteriously win while still mumbling through the whole movie.
I don't know. Like, I'm not a huge Mission Impossible fan, but I'm all for a final reckoning.
But what if they... Basically, the last three movies have been the final Mission Impossible. They just put a different name on it.
How about some TV?
What we got?
Debuting on Max this weekend, Pee-wee Herman as himself. A new two-part documentary. Tickle your fancy?
He's still with us? I thought Pee-wee Herman.
Yeah. Did he die? Yeah, I think he did die recently, right? Oh, no.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they're doing a document on his life.
I mean, it was cute until it wasn't. Right. Like we know the story. Like, you can't. Here's the thing. As an adult, it's almost like once you do kid shows, like, you got to be kid show friendly throughout the rest of your life. Like, you can't do adult things.
Yeah. Especially, you know, get caught.
Yeah, it's like, well, even your kids, like, Mr. Rogers was Mr. Rogers forever.
Yep.
Right? Oh, what's the dude that does Bluey? Not Bluey.
Blue's Clues?
What, Blue's Clues.
I think he actually had a falling out, too.
But they switched. They had new Blue's Clues guy,
because
right?
Because I think the other guy got caught up in some bad business, I think.
Right. You know what?
Maybe I'm throwing accusations.
You can't get caught up in adult stuff, in real life stuff, when you do these kids shows.
Brittany, any recollection if the original guy from Blue's Clues, did he fall on hard times?
The thing is he was still like Blue's Clues when I got too old, when I aged out of it. So I'm looking it up right now so I can confirm. But I feel like you're right. I feel like I remember something
like
that.
He just seems like he would be in Scandal, but maybe I'm doing
so.
Because I remember there was a viral video of him coming back, and everybody was very happy about it. I was like, oh, look, he cleaned up his life. But I don't know if there was anything to clean up, because maybe I'm wrong about this.
Wait, the only child show that had a bunch of adults was Yo Gabba Gabba.
What?
And I'm still trying to figure out what the hell that show was about.
I don't even know what Yo Gabba Gabba is.
Really? All it had was like stars, musical stars, because the guy I think was a producer that did Yo Gabba Gabba. All he had was like stars that would come on and partake in the show.
If I just go, I just typed into Google, did anything badly go badly for Blue's Clues Steve? This is what I get back from AI. Yes, things did go badly for Blue's Clues host Steve Burns after he left the show. While he initially left to, quote, go to college, he later revealed that he was also struggling with severe clinical depression, hair loss, and persistent death rumors that had been circulating around him. The death rumors particularly took a heavy toll on his mental health and led him to struggle with alcohol, eventually disappearing from public life. But no scandals, like just general sadness, it sounds like, and alcoholism.
Like the fact that he was doing a kid's show and couldn't be an adult. That has to be stressful. Like, you can't go out on a date. You go out on a date, you go somewhere, and everybody's, Blue's Clues! Blue's Clues, do the thing!
Do you think he goes on a date with somebody, he finds somebody on Tinder, and she goes, did we just figure out Blue's Clues? He goes, oh, okay, real original. Real original! I have other things!
Just think about being a grown man, and you still, like... Did you ever see the Mr. Rogers thing? The story on Mr. Rogers? Like, he lost his whole family because he had to be Mr. Rogers all the time.
This is, there's a story here from People Magazine from a couple of weeks ago, and it says, Steve Burns of Blue's Clues says urban legend that he died made him feel like he was supposed to amid depression battle. Wow.
Yeah. That's there tough. You go. I mean,
he was like sitting there and just thinking about mail time, just like, and he just was restless in bed.
But I'm just saying, this is like a lot of these adults that do kids shows. They may start in their 20s, right?
Mm-hmm.
But as they get older and want to be adults, and you're tied into this kid show, you can't be an adult.
I was just about to say the Wiggles.
Wiggles.
Yes, my nephew watches the Wiggles, and all the old Wiggles are still on the Wiggles.
Listen, they know.
Yeah, but they're also dressed in, like, what, different colors? Like Power Rangers all the time?
Yeah.
So if you see
and
that
now their kids
the
street, are now their kids are Wiggles, too.
Little Wiggles.
If I saw a blue Wiggle, or whatever their names are, going to, like, Chipotle, I wouldn't know him from Adam.
Timbo slices, yeah, get those jokes off, Tobin. I can't joke about it. Look, I think he's fine. I'm glad we learned good things today. He was not in any scandal. He was just sad. Isn't that better?
Yes. Yes, because he had to be a 35-year-old child.
Talking to an imaginary dog.
Right. Think about that. You want to talk about depressed? You ain't even, you're talking to cartoon generated, so you sitting in a room talking to yourself like you talking to somebody. I wouldn't be as surprised if he went home and kept talking to Bluey. Like, that's just like, it's just come on, Bluey, get in the car. Bluey and everybody is looking at him like, yo, hey, what's wrong? Me and Bluey going home. Like, yeah. It's like, yeah, man, it's hard. I'm telling you, with COVID, I've told you this all the time.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing I hated about professional sports was that you couldn't be a human. You couldn't be a man. People would try you, and if you acted like a grown-ass man and dealt with it that way, everybody would look at you like you did something wrong.
Well, I'm glad he's all right.
Yeah, like, yeah, but like, if you sit back and think about it, right? All these guys who did these kids' shows for long periods of time ended up having problems.
He said, Dade Sow says he was on the Rainn Wilson podcast. He said, quote, I built a house in Brooklyn and never left it. I called it the gray of my life, he said on the podcast. It was about 10 years where I did nothing but drink a couple of bottles of wine every night alone and watch Mythbusters and eat pad thai.
Know why? Couldn't go out on a date. You know why? Bluey, do the thing! Do the thing! Right! Wait, you laughing? Am I lying?
No.
That's real talk right there. People that, like, they get caught up, you know, oh, I want to be famous, I want to be... You don't want to be a famous adult in a child show.
He said, I gained 50 pounds, I was almost completely unrecognizable.
Everyone, go out in public.
Everyone thought I was dead. Eventually, I started playing along, and you know, that was a strategy that just maybe I am. The rumors of his death got so bad that at one point, his own family members even believed them, and Burns explained how his mother once called him crying from a line in Arby's to make sure he was okay.
Hey, same thing happened to Dora.
What?
Yep.
She was a cartoon.
You can't chase a backpack around in real life. Could you imagine Dora walking down the street in the real world talking to her backpack?
Boots.
Back. Come on.
Take a break. We'll get you caught up with your headlines, including a monster Cats win. Back after this.
It is. Whoops.
Are you okay?
Oh, man.